He was a man, and as men should do, he got tough when the tough got going. And he stood his ground. And he decided that he was going to share Jesus Christ. He was looking at all the good things in life. You know, I think sometimes we get ourselves in a slump. We backslide because we have a tendency to think it could have, it would have, it should have. Instead of looking at it in Christ's eyes, having the mind of Christ, which gives us the peace, gives us the joy. And so as we look at Christian character today, Paul had already read verses 20 through 30. And we're going to look at our Christian character. So what is character? A Christian character is not an act, but a process. Not a sudden creation, but a development. It grows and bears fruit like a tree. I think the problem is sometimes we don't let it grow. I think we stifle our character. We need to let go and let God. It requires patient care and unwearied cultivation. I know you ladies like in the springtime to pull your plants out. You had to put your babies to bed for the wintertime. You know, you either you have growth lights or something. But they need that photosynthesis. They need that light. They need that food, so to speak, to grow. So we have our plants by the window. My point is that God is light, and in him there, the illumination. We're like as a mirror. We mirror Christ's reflection, God's loveliness, Christ's is our keeper. So what else is to say about character? It is what God knows you to be. God knows who you are, right? You know, I think I know myself very well, but your reputation is what people think who you are. And what kind of reputation do you have? You know what? It's never too late to get in under the blood, to start all over again. Proverbs says a righteous man falls what? 70 times. That means it's innumerable. Has the idea that he'll keep on getting up. Keep on fighting. God has given us the tools. We just haven't gone into the workshop and we haven't pulled them out yet and got to work on it. Okay? Sometimes it may take hours, days, months, years, and say, no, I don't want to hear any more of that. But character also is to sow a thought. Think about it with a thought. This is how your character begins. You sow a thought, you reap a desire. You sow a desire, you reap an act. You sow an act, you reap a character. It all begins with a thought. You begin with a thought. How are you going to take that thought? You want everything to be capitated, right? You want everything captive. In Christ. In other words, like Christ have control of your thoughts. There is just so many things going on. Yesterday, we had the Christmas parade in Oconomowoc. And you had a lot of people come on out. And the weather was starting to be a little bit more merciful. But, you know, there's an opportunity there to think, you know, Lord, what am I going to do for this day? You know, where are our thoughts taking us? So we want to have the mind of Christ in us. Paul goes on to say here, I'm going to back up verse 19, says, for I know in Philippians chapter 1 that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and supply in the spirit of Jesus Christ. He's saying, I'm in jail, but you know what? Characteristically wise, I've been leading people to the Lord. Remember Lydia, who opened up her house there to Paul when he first got there. And remember the Philippian jailer, magistrate? Remember he started going? Because remember Paul and Silas in Acts, they were let out of jail? Remember their character? They started singing. If you ever get down and out and you feel like, you know, you got the blues or whatever you want to call it, feeling a little depressed, start singing. It will change your life. Things will start brightening up. Oh, things are looking brighter out here now. Start singing. You know, God has given, if you can't sing, I understand. Like, I cannot play the piano. I get on the keys and I just go bang, bang, bang. That's all I could do on the piano. But at least God can give us the time to use what God has given you to be a joy to yourself. Be good to yourself. Take care of yourself. And especially this season, this time when everybody gets so busy, Paul was there and there were others that he was thinking about that he loved so much. And yet in Caesar's household, now you got to remember something. Nero was the Caesar at this time. And guess what? Persecution was happening. And he was telling them, hey, watch out. Remember Peter wrote 1st and 2nd Peter? It's the same time that persecution started breaking out. And it was time to start realizing that, hey, we ought to ask ourselves, am I going to wait to the last minute to start doing something for the Lord? Or am I going to start doing it now? Because my time is precious. It is a gift from God. We've had some saints go home to be with the Lord. And you know what? I know of one, the other one I don't, who passed away recently. And you know what? I'm very thankful for the one I did know. The other one found out that she was a Christian. And you know what? I'm very thankful for that large family, for the father who used to have Bible studies when I heard Thanksgiving service. They would spend about 15 minutes in God's word. You're thinking, huh? Oh, yeah, that used to be it in the day. You know what? The day is today. We can still have those times. Encouraged by husbands being more interested in, you know, spending time in God's word with a crazy schedule. Some of you have a crazy schedule, and I'll get off the rabbit trail here in a minute. But you still spend time with God. And let me tell you, you encourage me. You encourage yourself. You encourage everybody here. There's always time. And they talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are today, man. They are the good old days. Don't anybody kid you that they used to be. No, they're today. They are today. It's a good way of looking at life. It gives us some joy. Verse 20, so says here, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also will be magnified in my body, whether by life nor by death. For me to live is Christ, as die is to gain. You know, we're looking at number one is a Christian's consecration, his devotion. For Paul was new, as you remember, in 2 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 4, he knew that his time was, he was ready to depart. His time was at hand. And he was very thankful for what Christ had done in his life. And if we keep that relationship going, we can see Christ working in us. And the most beautiful part is that we all know, without a doubt, that we have something to live for. There was, look at it this way before I read what I need to read here. You know, it's a win-win. You live for Christ, for me. What? To live is Christ. You got Christ in you today. And to die is the gain. You know what? I got a win-win here. I can't go wrong. What have I got to be down about? Okay? What is beating me up? Sometimes we beat each other up. Or not beat each other up. Excuse me. Sometimes we beat ourselves up. And we let things drag us down. Just let go of those things. They're just the thoughts. Remember, it's that thought that develops your character. In AD 286, an elite Theban Roman legion, more than 6,600 Egyptian youths were dispatched to Gaul for action. The amazing fact that this legion was, all its members were Christians. 6,600 in this legion. As the story goes, the emperor said, I want you all to make an allegiance to me. Now, you have to understand, back in that time, that they were pagans. So if you're a Christian, you're like, I'm not going to do it. As long as it goes against God's laws, but God wants us to obey what the government has told us to do, as long as we don't go contradictory. So what happened was is that you had this pagan emperor said, you know what, I want you to make an allegiance to me. I'm your God. And usually that's what they would do. They were making any pagan deities. Well, the characteristic of these soldiers was they all said, you know what? We're not going to do this. We're not going to pay heed to this pagan Caesar, and we're going to disobey him. So he says, you know what? All right, one out of every 10 of you is going to die. This really happened. And so they were put to death. And he says, okay, maybe I thought I could scare a little bit in you. You know, people go after our characters with fear. You know what overcomes fear? It's faith. You know, faith will set you free. Faith will make you strong. Faith will make you mighty in the Lord, even in the little things. And you know what happened? All of them said, nope, we're not going to do what you tell us to do, Caesar. And so this is what happened was is that they all died. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. And they all died. We're all put to the sword. Can you imagine that? How many testimonies have we heard? We're going to get to another testimony here toward the end of someone who just recently died for their faith, maybe about 10 years ago. And remember the Coptic Christians in Egypt when ISIS came? We'll get to that in a little bit. But also, too, you had other people who died. And remember, there's a comparison between John the Baptist and you had Elijah. You had one that died, John the Baptist, is because Herod's family member, Herodian, had married someone who he was not supposed to marry. John the Baptist said, look, because you divorced your husband, you are going to, and married someone else, you're going to go ahead and be told you broke God's law. You remember the whole stories in Matthew chapter 14. What happened was, make a long story short, John the Baptist, he was beheaded because he stuck up for what God believed in his law. Divorce was not an option. Was not an option. Just to divorce somebody while somebody else is still living and then marry somebody else because you were part of the royal family. John the Baptist had no bones about it. And he says, you know what? You're wrong. Well, to keep John the Baptist shut up, what did Herod do? He went ahead and had his head chopped off. And what did Jesus do at this time? We can learn a lot from Jesus' character. He still went on and did the work of the Lord. When issues and problems come up in life, we keep marching on. But I love what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 14. He went alone in a mountain and he prayed. He loved John the Baptist, but they didn't have to do that to him. Elijah, on the other hand, chariot, he went up to heaven. He didn't die. Remember Enoch and Elijah, they didn't die. And so they both preached repentance. They both wore animal skin clothing. Elijah and John the Baptist both preached against ungodly behavior of evil kings. Both lived in the wilderness. Both ministered during the time of spiritual darkness. In Israel, both confronted idolatry. So these were men of God. They were men with strong character, Christ-like character. So moving on here in verse 22 says, but if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. What kind of fruit is that? It's from the Holy Spirit. Yet what I choose, I cannot tell. So he's saying between the two, he's between a rock and a hard place. Paul is saying here, I'm chained up to these Roman guards. Can you imagine being chained up to somebody, having to use the restroom or whatever, having to eat? He was under house arrest for 2 years plus. And yet he still looked at all the good in it, all the best in it. He took a horrible situation and started picking out the best parts and prayed about the worst parts. What could he do in that situation? He's telling the Philippians, hey, you're going through persecution right now. Yeah, I got it. It's a joy working with you. But also, too, I understand that times are difficult. And, you know, so he went on ahead and he depended on the Holy Spirit of God to help him with his, as it were, his fruit of my labor in verse 22. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us compassion. Jesus said in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide in with you forever. This is a characteristic that we should have. We should have compassion. Number two is the Holy Spirit has given us counsel. It's another characteristic that we have. We counsel one another, help one another. And number three, the Holy Spirit has given us courage. We should have the characteristic of courage, witnessing no matter what in circumstances which he did. Number four, the Holy Spirit has given us, put conviction in our lives and in the ministry. We are convicted. How are we going to lead somebody else to the Lord unless there's that conviction? Saying that person really believes in it. I really understand now because this person's going to has something different about them. And then number five, the Holy Spirit was given to share the deep things of God. Our characteristics should be like, you know, I'm not just a Christian. A lot of people just look at the word as Christian and they think they can get away with it. But do I really live that reflection of Jesus Christ? Am I living a life of a Christian? Remember, we're not perfect. Our characters have flaws in them. But remember, he forgives us. And with repentance, we need to forsake it. We need to, you know, say, look, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm a little weak in this area. I got a few flaws in my character. No, he'll work it out. Every person in the Bible, listen to me, every person, every character in the Bible had flaws. They had problems. Even Abraham, yeah, Abraham was a good liar. He lied a lot. Remember he went to Egypt and he says, oh no, that's my sister, Pharaoh. You know, this is my, you know, this is supposed to be his wife. And of course, that backfired. Some lying doesn't do any good. Abraham found that out. Pharaoh was like, why did you bring all this evil upon me? Get out of here. Go take whatever you want and go. So, but Abraham was on the rebound. He was the comeback kid. He always went with it. And then also God gives us the character of praying and bearing much fruit and the singing of the joy in our hearts that, you know, the joy, God can give us joy that passeth all understanding. You ever met somebody, you ever met yourself? Sit there and you're like, I have such a bliss. There's something different about me. And, you know, the other day I sat here in the sanctuary and yes, it was cold, so I had my coat on. You know, I sat in the back of the room. I looked at everything, you know, and I try to keep busy all the time. And I just took the time to enjoy it. Look at everything around here. So thankful. All the things that we have in life. And I sat there for about a half an hour and just prayed for everybody and just thought about it. And, you know, if we just get off the train for a minute and look at our lives and give thanks. And then, of course, you get back on our train and go on with the Lord. But it says the Holy Spirit also gives us assurance. Thank God that we have the characteristic of insurance. Oh, there's something different about you. You know, you go to this church and you live differently. You're a little different. Wasn't any much different as it was back about 200 AD when one man in a letter to Dionysius. And this is from somebody who wrote about Christians, said they love everyone. This is talking about Christians in the second century. This man testified in Rome. Remember, there was persecution going on. They were treated horribly. But are persecuted by all. They are put to death and gain life. They are poor and yet make many rich. They are dishonored and yet gain glory through dishonor. Their names are blackened and yet they are cleared. They are mocked and blessed in return. You might know somebody who just hates you and because who you are. They are treated outrageously and behave respectfully to others. See the rebound here? See the difference? There's a Christ in this. When they do good, they are punished as evildoers. When they're punished, they rejoice as if they were given new life. Think about that one. They are attacked by Jews as aliens. They are persecuted by Greeks. And yet those who hate them cannot give any reason for their hostility. Isn't that amazing? How, you know, because of Christ in us, as we see here in verse 22, says, for this will mean fruit in my labors, yet what I shall choose cannot tell. Verse 23 in Philippians says, for I am hard pressed between two, having desired to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is far more needful for you. In other words, let me tell you something. Encourage somebody today. We all need it. You know, there's so many, we put so much emphasis on the outside. Jesus spoke about the spiritual part more than anything. He didn't really care about the physical. Yeah, he met people's needs and this and that. But it's our spiritual life that means so much. Being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you in all my and your progress and joy of the faith that you're rejoicing for me may more be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Paul was looking at, you know, as the saying goes, looking at the glass half full. He was always looking at it that way, you know. It wasn't halfway empty. It was halfway full. You know, there was, James, this is so important. It says here, now listen to this. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that your testing of your faith produces patience. Remember, it's the rejoicing of God that when we're being patient, that God is doing something. And people say, I don't get it. It's God is doing something in your life. You ought to ask yourself today, is he doing something in my life, whether it's good or bad? There's a reason for it, my dear brethren, because he wants us to rejoice in the patience and the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the working of patience. He's working in us. Say, it's not easy. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm ready to give up. God's saying, no, 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 no. There's a reason. Rejoice because he's working in you. You know, when you're out there digging a garden, wrong time of year, you're out there shoveling the snow, okay, do you rejoice in that? Most people don't. They're going to say, oh my goodness, I think we're going to have a heart attack. Working too hard. Hope you're never that old. For those who are, God bless you. Pray for those who have to go out there and shovel snow. Right? It's the patience, the joy, knowing that God's working. You're working. Okay? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in various trials, knowing this, the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. In other words, being matured, growing up. We're still growing up. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to men liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask of faith, not doubting. And he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind. For let no man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For this man is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. There you go. You're going through hard times today? James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. Name it, claim it, go to bed with it, stick it on your forehead. I'm just kidding. You know, stick it on the wall, stick it on the refrigerator in big black letters, black and white, saying this is happening again. You know, some people who suffer through depression have told me that it just comes and goes. You know, there's nothing they can do about it. Or like one person told me, they said, you know, oh no, it's coming again. They can feel it coming over them. It's not a sin. It just comes over them. And, you know, I'm like, oh, wow. So God gives us the grace to even go through that. I'm not saying anything's easy and everything's easy, but by the grace of God and His mercy, God allows us to go through time. Say, Pastor, you have no idea. No, I don't. And that's between you and the Lord. And all I can do is pray for you and help you and be there with you. And your brothers or sisters be there with you. And knowing that you just give God a chance to work in your situation, that's all I'm saying. Some of you are going through the worst things that I wouldn't want to have to go through. But, you know, comparative of what Christ went through, He understands, and that Christ loves you and Christ will show you a way. There is no temptation unto man that is common to man, that God leads a way to escape. God will give you a way out if you let Him work joy in your life with that patience. It's tough. I got you there. And nobody's judging you. Everybody's trying to love you. And we see here, and verse 27. So it says here in Philippians 1, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or I'm absent, or I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in the Spirit and of one mind, striving together in the faith of the gospel. You know, for our character to work out here, it takes motivation. And sometimes our character doesn't line up. We might have the problem of having a lack of instruction. In other words, somebody may instruct us the wrong way to go. Be careful what people give you, your opinions. And even some Christians say they mean to be sincere, but they're wrong. And especially if you know they're wrong, you don't have to tell them, oh, you're wrong. You say, okay, I'll pray about it. Let me think about it. There might be something in there I could use. Neglect the Bible reading, prayer, and church. That's so important, because if Satan can get you, take your character and pull you out of line. Or have a wife had talked to a lady not long ago who had a huge blow up with her husband and said, why didn't you push back? You should never pay that contractor because it took so long. Some words I won't say. But it's like my wife said, you know what? The one that you love knows. And we've been through that too. And what you have to do is that you have to let it go. Let it go. Because everybody has a temper. Everybody can flare up. And it's usually because of we got our eyes off of Christ. So the characteristic is here is to be patient and understand why that other person did what they did. And then uncertainty about beliefs, about our Christian beliefs. Oh, we got to be careful about that. Especially of those Christians who you know that they may not believe in the same thing you do. And they call themselves Christians, but they're not. And especially with cults. Because they'll tell you everything. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yes, 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 yes. No, they're not. They want to suck you in to let your guard down so they can take over you and change your character. And, of course, there's one here about luring of the world system. Oh, it's so easy to get busy this time of year and forget about Christ and say, well, I'm doing okay. Be careful. Be careful. Okay? So all kinds of ways the world can get in on you. And you should be the wiser. And then, of course, there's doubts about God. You can change your characteristics. And then temptations. And those things that can pull us away from God, it's so easy to do. Because when we have heavy burdens, sometimes they can hinder our growth. And, you know, we have tight schedules, busy schedules. Got to be careful about those. It's a temptation to look the other way and say, Lord, I can't do this. I'm out of strength. Well, probably you are. Because He knows He wants you to use common sense. So what are some evidences of good, strong Christian character is an increasing awareness of our sins and our weaknesses, responding to sin with immediate repentance, rejoicing in the intense spiritual battles, and seeing trials and temptations as opportunities, and viewing service to Christ as a high honor, not a burden, and counting. You know, I'm going to stop right here for a minute here. Viewing service to Christ as a high honor, not a burden. You know, I have met some people who stopped going to church. Met them out here. And they will tell me, you know, I stopped going when COVID came around. I said, why do you still not go to church? Now, I'm not talking about people that are online that can't make it because of medical issues. And I said to this one gentleman one day, I said, are you saved? Looked at me. He goes, yeah, I think so. Ah, I think so. Well, I said, well, why don't you tell me how you came to know the Lord? And he was so stagmatic, he kept on cutting short of what he was going to say. I doubted if the man was saved. I had my doubts. But he was assured to me that he didn't have to go to church, that he couldn't find a church, and he still hasn't come out here to visit. He didn't think the church was really necessary. And then finally, he said, well, I believe that nature is my church. You ever heard of that? Somebody say to you, you know, I believe that this is our church out here. And I'm like, really? Okay, I don't read that in my Bible. No. So we departed to agree to disagree. And that's where you come. You know, I had to love the person. I didn't agree with them, but I had to be firm with them. I don't believe it. And smile sweetly and part your ways and pray for them. And, you know, another good one of knowing their Christian faith is growing is sensing growth in our faith. Are we growing? Can we look back at our salvation? We had just a nice time back in Sunday school, and we're going through 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And, you know, we had both people who had their birthdays give their testimonies. And I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, where have I am I growing? I was thinking to myself as they shared their wonderful testimonies. I was like, oh, they were spot on. You get to the point where you're tired of running around Robin's barn all the time. There are no more excuses, whether you put up or shut up, you know. It was like, finally, you're like, yes, I believe in you. Not because you're a pain in my side, Lord, it's because you love me. And you're allowing this pain in my side to get my attention, that you care about me and that you're there for me. And you want me to be saved by faith. And there were some pretty strong testimonies. And that was my piece of cake. Remember how the saying goes, oh, he has his cake and gets to eat it too, you know. It was great. Hear testimonies, how people came to know the Lord. Anytime anybody here wants to come up during the service and give a testimony of their faith, let me know to encourage you. Because we need to be encouraged. You say, I never knew that. Wow. Why were you hiding that from me anyway? Right? You never know what kind of blessing we can be. Some of us are like, well, I'll come to church and that's it. But we need to get to know each other better in a good way. And if you're kind of shy, it's okay too. Don't feel bad about that. You know, let that be the leading of the Lord. Another good characteristic is you desire to give. And we got some givers here today. People that, I'm not talking about your tithe and your offering, but I'm talking about your time, your effort, you care. We had a lady who took me out to lunch one day. Just didn't have to, but wanted to. Because she wanted to get to know me better. And Kimberly, too, wanted to get to know us better. I thought, this is great. The more time we spend with another, it's better. We need that. Because if not, there's going to be this wide gap. And really, it's hard to build a bridge in a wide gap. You need a good engineer to build a good bridge, a strong bridge. And we need to be building more and more bridges and stop hiding. And then a good characteristic also is hungering for the Lord. Do we hunger for his righteousness? Are we craving for what he has? Are we tasting and see if the Lord is good? Say, God, I need this. I need this. How many times this week have we opened up God's word and it's like, you know what? Oh my goodness. The verses pop out at you. They jump out at you. Like, I have never read that before. I didn't know that was there. That's great. It's like having a gift or a talent that you never use. If somebody comes along and picks you up and says, use it or you lose it. You ever heard that? You don't use it, you'll lose it because you forget. Or if God's put a gift into you, God can still use that if somebody takes the time to help exercise that gift or that blessing he has. And of course, last but not least, the characteristic of God's love. And today we need it more than anything else. Yes, things look different as far as our government goes, and I'm not going to make any mention of that, but we need to pray for them. Excuse me. And maybe things look brighter for you in your life today. But keep on praying and keep on loving. Satan's biggest trick is to say, okay, you've got it made. You can relax. Oh no, that's when the time when you should start, get your back up straight and get back to work. There's a time of rest, like it says in Ecclesiastes. There's a time to plant. There's a time to reap. And there's a time to love. So, moving on here in Philippians. Looked at a Christian's consecration, Christian's confidence. And we look at a Christian's conversation. In verse 28, it says, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which to them prove of perdition, but you of salvation, and that from God. And for you, for it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now in me too. Now, this is a story here that I thought you'd like, because they were suffering through persecution. Remember back in 2012 when we had in Egypt, ISIS had gone into a factory and took out about 20 Coptic Christians in Egypt. Remember the orange jumpsuits that they televised on TV, if you remember back in 2012? It was a horrible thing. They marched them from their work. They marched them down to the beach. And they got on their knees and they were all going to be beheaded. And let me encourage you. They, through their conversation, their character, started praising God. Now, of course, the TV anchor was fearful. Oh, this is just horrible. Yes, it was horrible. But there was fear in his voice. And what the enemy does, they feed on that fear. As a Christian, we feed on faith. I'd be like, you know what, Lord, that was me. I'm going to miss Kimberly. I'm going to miss my family. I'm going to miss my church. But thank God, absent with the body, present with you. For me to live as Christ is the gain. You know, I've been thinking of all these verses and it'd be over with. Remember back in the 1700s in the Revolutionary War, France was part of that too, as the allies of the Americans. And there was a man named Mr. Guillotine. He thought that by developing the guillotine would stop so much hatred. And what people did, they used it for the worst parts. It's like the Gatling gun. They invented that back in the 1860s, thinking, you know, it was like a machine gun, like the first machine gun. You crank it and shoot out. And the guy, Mr. Gaplin, thought, well, that'd be the best thing to do. Maybe we won't have, you know, so many deaths. But people took something that was good and used it for evil. I think I wouldn't even bother with that patent if there was one back in the day. All you have to do is write out your, they send you a piece of paper, and Kimberly's done this for some of her artwork, send it out there to D.C., and they send you back a patent. No one can copy it without a copyright law. Okay, and it's very important what we do here at church. We're very thankful for a board. They protect us from copyright laws. They do the due diligence. But these Christians, listen to me now as I'm closing. It's like this. You had one man. There was 21, not 20. There were 21. 20 of them were Christians. One was from Ghana. And he heard these guys thanking Jesus. And they didn't even show this in the news. It's just like, oh, horrible. This is horrible. Yes, it was. But this one man wasn't a Christian. And he accepted Jesus as his Savior. He accepted Christ. So what I'm saying here is Paul was a prisoner, yes, but he counted it joy that his character showed Christ. And I want to encourage you all today, let your character be in line with Christ. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. Remember with Jesus? This man hasn't done anything wrong. Remember the thief on the cross? He's saying this man did no wrong. And the other one was still mocking him, the other thief. I mean, look at Christmas. You know, you had a man named Herod who was just, he was horrified knowing that the wise men went and told him that there was a savior, there was a king coming. Oh, I can't have another king take my place. So just kill all the babies 2 years and younger. Kill them all. That's how ruthless and gutless this king was, you know. Real man will stand up and realize that, you know, yeah, I got the odds stacked against me, but I'm going to still march on. Christ marched on for the cross for you and I. He overcame temptation. He overcame the cross. He overcame death, and he was given life that we may have it more abundantly. Let me encourage you today. I wish there were roses growing in December, but that doesn't happen. Let's be a realist here. What we need to do is to put Christ in our character. Remember, we are seeds, and he planted the seed in us, and what? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, some God watered, and God did what? Gave the increase. You planted, somebody led you to the Lord. Where are you growing? Growing up in the Lord? Are you growing out in the Lord? Are you stagnated? Are you withering up and dying inside? Don't kid yourself. You've got so much to share, so much to give. We live in a life where I'm going to close with this, where they say nothing's for free. Well, guess what? It's not for free. But you know, we have the freedom to share Jesus Christ today. Let's be free in Christ and share by living Christ. And let me encourage you. This is like an announcement here. If you ever want to go out with me on evangelism, let me know. Let me know. It's what I'm here for. I love going out. You know, sometimes Kimberly go with me, but most of the time it's like go out by myself. And don't worry, if it's real cold like it was the other few nights ago, I don't go out, but I go out during the day. My times vary. I'm open 24/7. Open 24/7. Anytime you say, Pastor, do you have time to go out witnessing? It will help me get to know you. I'll get to know you. And, you know, that's what I want to do is get to know you. And Christ wants to get to know you too. Because our character, it keeps on growing. It doesn't stop, doesn't go dormant. Let God take hold of you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the character as a Christian, as what we should live thereby. Lord, we thank you that you were born to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you, God, for alarms. We thank you that they wake us up. They help us to realize, Lord, like your word, we need to take you more seriously. And bless the hearts here who have been. God, just pray that God would be merciful, give you the grace to help you. Don't try to take the whole burden on yourself. Let God let go. Let God do that work, that patience, that joy in James chapter 1. That you're rejoicing because God is allowing you to bear fruit in your life because of the tremendous trial that you're going through. And you have no idea how you're going to deal with it. Doing the best you can, that's all you can do. And go by faith, believe in what God can do in your life. Take it one day at a time. Lord, pray too, if there's somebody here who doesn't know you as Savior, online, or maybe somebody here, I don't know, who's playing the secret Christian, somebody who's not just being honest with themselves or with you, just working their lives. You know, we used to have open invitations. We used to have altar calls, but there's an altar call in your heart that you can go to him in your heart and your mind and get things right with him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.